Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome everybody to episode 10 of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, junior editor at Comic Book Movie. You may know me as Mr. Sunday.
I thought you were going to say my name is James Jr.
Do you remember James Bond Jr., the
yes,
TV show?
Yes, of course I do. Ah, but he wasn't an actual junior.
He was his nephew.
Yeah.
And there was always that really awkward scene where he'd introduce himself. He'd go, my name's Bond, James Bond Jr.
Oh, wow.
So he'd say the whole thing.
Oh, that's, yeah. He never had any friends.
Shit show.
Yeah.
I don't remember it very well.
Out of the gate. Trailblazing opinions.
Joining me as always is my co-host, James Bond Jr. fanatic.
That's me.
Nick Mason.
Hey, pal. Doing?
What's up?
I'm good. I'm excellent. I'm recording slightly delayed today because there was a fly in the room, and you ran around Walter White obsessively trying to swat at it and negotiate its safe passage out of the room. It was
it would have driven me crazy.
I should have put the video on YouTube because millions of hits.
So many millions. Yeah. Fantastic stuff.
One of these days you'll get through an entire intro of this show without me interrupting.
That's fine.
What, not today.
Why would we?
What are we doing today?
Good question. Well, as we discussed earlier, this week we're talking alternative endings to popular comic book movies.
Ooh.
I've written here some clever, some wacky, some boring, and some quite frankly not worth talking about.
Let's talk about them anyway.
Exactly. I've got quite a few actually. Some of them aren't strictly comic book movies, but all of them have at least big comic book properties kind of based on them or spinning off from them.
So, I'm somewhat capable of talking about things that aren't comic book movies.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, evidence will bear that out one way or the other today, but maybe not.
We'll see.
I'm not confident, I'll be honest with you.
We've got news to start with, though. I've got two things to talk about for news.
I'm ready. Let's talk
about
news.
You like to keep the news a secret, don't you?
Yes. I want to be surprised by news.
You want it to be news?
Yeah.
Not olds.
Precisely.
I think I stole that from a Ricky Gervais podcast. I'm pretty sure I did.
He can keep that one. It's fine.
Okay. First off, Geoff Johns, DC's chief creative officer, has said that Aquaman is a priority character for DC. Hinting at the fact we may be getting an Aquaman movie. What do you think?
It's never going to work.
Are you serious? I would love to see an Aquaman. I'm probably not. Do you mean never going to get off the ground or not going to work?
I don't even. Aquaman, in theory, I enjoy the character.
Yep.
But realistically, he's just sort of stuck around because people at DC Editorial like him for some reason. Like, they like the orange scaly shirt or
yeah,
whatever.
Like that. Yeah.
They like his hair or whatever, but
I think you're the one who introduced me to Aquaman, because I think in the late 90s you gave me some of the JLA, Grant Morrison's JLA run.
Okay, sure.
And the villain, one of the White Martians, goes to him.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. It's 15 years old,
yeah, okay,
so whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how he's like, you can't stop me, Aquaman, you're useless. And he, like, gives him a brain seizure.
Yep.
Like, he goes into his head, attacks his, like, fish part of his brain.
Uh-huh, sure.
You know, and
the fish that lives in his brain. The fish that lives in all of our brains.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's good in that, and he's well-written in that.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's so much potential in Aquaman, but it's never been...
Have you read the New 52 stuff?
Nope.
It's pretty good.
All right, then.
And they actually play off it, the fact that they're like...
That he's a dumb fish man.
Yeah, he's a dumb fish man, because they're like... There's a scene at the start where he stops a bank robbery, mm-hmm. like in the middle of the city or, you know, near the coast. And they're like, and the cops are like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And then one of them goes, do you want a glass of water? And they all kind of smirk.
Nice.
So, you know, there's a little stuff. So they kind of acknowledge it.
All right. Okay.
And so, yeah. And someone even says to him in it, how does it feel to be everybody's least favorite superhero?
That's pretty
and
good.
And he flips out.
Okay. Here's the thing though. They can do that in a comic book world. They've got a lot of scope for that.
Yeah.
Now, attempt to put that in the Man of Steel universe.
Yeah, good point.
Because he can't be in that universe that's very, very, very grim and serious, but also be a fish man who talks to fish.
Well, and he specifies in this as well, he doesn't talk to fish. He can manipulate what they're going to do, because they've got small fish minds. Maybe that's fish racist? I don't know.
It's certainly a fish retcon, isn't it? That they've, in the past, he could always talk to fish.
He could, yeah.
They're like, hey, what's going on, Aquaman? And he was all like...
Shut up.
Why do all these fish talk to me? I don't like it.
Yeah, well, he said a few other things. He said the ocean setting could work to a writer's advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think ocean movies like ocean levels in video games are the worst
like
movies?
Ocean's 11?
Like Ocean's 11.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you like ocean movies? The deep blue sea?
See, Beyond the Sea.
Beyond the Sea.
Kevin Spacey movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, ocean levels are always the worst levels.
They are.
So whatever movie tie-in is going to be the worst game ever.
It's basically going to be Echo the Dolphin.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say Echo the Dolphin.
And he also said they've pushed in the past few years like on developing his personality, his supporting cast.
His personality?
Yeah, he's got a personality show, yeah. Uh-huh. And his enemies like Black Manta and Ocean Master.
So he's two enemies.
Yes.
Name another one.
Mira. Initially.
A mirror.
No, his wife, whatever. M-E-R-A.
Oh, right. Okay.
Is that how you say it? Mirror?
Mirror.
It's one of those things where I read it in my head and then I say it out loud. I'm like, I may have been saying that wrong this whole
time.
Yeah, the whole time.
You know, one of mine was Segway.
Go on.
S-E-G-U-E.
Oh, right.
I always read that. Is Seg. Like a Seg. But then, Segway.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you hate Aquaman's water hand? Is that what this is?
No, that's probably the best thing about him.
Really? You love the water hand?
I like the water hand. I like a harpoon hand.
I don't like the harpoon
hand. I wish he had a water hand and a harpoon hand. And like an outboard motor foot. That'd be pretty great, wouldn't it?
That would be pretty great. So yeah, that's all the Aquaman news this week and probably ever.
Say so, yes.
Look, I would love to see it. Oh, so he's getting his own animated film.
Wow, they're just so going nuts with
it. I don't know. I think there might be. I think it's a possibility.
I don't think that counts.
If you can pull off Thor.
Steady on.
You can pull off Aquaman.
Yeah, I guess so.
Who would have thought Thor was possible?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well done.
I didn't know you. I've got no evidence of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But I'm an animated feature, I don't think really counts as anything.
Oh, completely.
There's just tons of them.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. But, you know, I don't think it's very.
It's just a thing, though.
It sure is.
I love it.
Second piece of news.
Mm-hmm.
It was revealed this week, although it may have been already revealed or confirmed, I can't remember. News to me, that Harry Osborn will be in Spider-Man 2, that I knew. But he'll be the Green Goblin, skipping over the Norman Osborn.
Straight away.
I assume they'll be skipping over it, yeah. So he's up against Rhino,
yep.
In a mechanical Rhino costume.
Who was it like again? It's bloody...
Paul Giamatti.
There we go, love it.
Who's apparently only in it for the first 20 minutes.
Okay.
Jamie Foxx's Electro.
Villain Overload. I'm smelling Villain Overload.
And, yeah.
I'm smelling Batman and Robin.
Well, spoiler alert for those who haven't unaware of what happens to Gwen Stacy.
Yep.
The Green Goblin, Norman Osborn kills her, right?
Yep.
So maybe it'll be the other. Maybe it'll be different this time.
Hmm.
Or maybe it'll be exactly.
I mean, technically,
the same.
I think it was gravity that killed her.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the superhero.
Not the superhero gravity.
For
some no, reason. No.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
What have I been?
Just a real prick of a guy. Just. No. Okay. What I would like to see.
And they hinted at the Shocker this week as well. And a few others.
That's going to confuse people. Electronic Shocker.
Big time.
I mean, different power sets, but people aren't going to...
One's a quilt man.
Yeah, one's a quilt man, exactly.
One's
yeah.
Dr. Manhattan in a hoodie.
Yeah, exactly.
sorry, go on.
I've lost my train of thought. Where were we? Villain Overload. Oh, yeah. Harry Osborn. I hope Norman Osborn becomes the Green Goblin. He crashes into the side of a building and he dies, and then...
Immediately.
Immediately, and then all the rubble falls on Harry Osborn, and he's like, Father! Yeah.
I really
workable.
Hope so too. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Streamline the whole process, aren't
they? The trailer's actually out Tuesday, so we can talk about that. Well, by the time this comes out, it'll probably be out. But I think it actually looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. I was very skeptical at the start. And the Mark Webb, the director, kept tweeting a whole lot of hints and tidbits about it for like months and months in advance, and I'd read and be like, I don't care about this. Like, it's the least interesting sequel ever, because I didn't love The Amazing Spider-Man. It's okay, but it was completely unnecessary. But the more I see of this one, it's not as dark and dark nighty as they kind of made that the other one.
Yep.
It looks more kind of comic booky, which is good.
Okay.
And I think if you can put a few of his villains in it, if you could do, you know, if you've got Rhino at the start and you know, for a little bit, you always got a montage of beating up some of his quirks.
Yeah.
You know.
If we start the film and he's just, this is his day to day now. He's just fighting costume villains. I'm totally okay with that. Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. Mm. So, best movie ever?
Yeah, sounds like the best movie ever. Definitely. Cool. Yeah. Pretty great.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll talk about that more next week, though.
Okay.
Unless the trailer doesn't come out.
Do you think Mark Webb directing Spider-Man is one of those Hollywood things where they had all the potential directors laid out on a table?
Yeah.
Not the directors.
Yeah.
Maybe they just had the directors laid out on a table. And they're like,
the actual directors.
Yeah, the actual directors. Now they think, why not? It's Hollywood. And they were just like, Mark Webb, that's funny. Spiders make webs.
You know what?
We're idiots. Let's give this $175 million.
You know, that has crossed my mind.
Yep.
It would be, if I'm not going to say that that's completely true, because I'm probably going to be used for it, but sure, why not? It's got to play a factor on, it's got to play a part on some subconscious level.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever. Now, I thought we'd do a rating system for these. Well, we're getting into the alternative endings.
Okay, I'm ready.
Cool with that?
Yep.
I thought of a rating system. It's similar to our other one.
Uh-huh. It's our world-famous best movie ever, worst movie ever system that people love.
The rating system is better, worse, or what?
I love
like,
it.
Like, what?
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Because some of these are pretty weird.
Uh-huh.
So, you're cool with that?
Yep.
Or just, you know, well, we don't have a rating system, we forget it immediately.
Okay, sounds good. We just ramble.
We just
lose
ramble.
Track. We'll be pretty great. Okay, excellent.
Now, the first one I picked here, this is the reason I actually decided to do this one, or we decided to do this for a topic.
Can I butt in?
No.
Oh, no. You sent me the email, you sent me the list of movies, and you said, hey, can you describe
the movies,
whether you remember them or not.
Yeah.
This is the first... I'm actually surprised you haven't done this earlier. It's an entire podcast predicated on the fact that I don't know anything about anything. So I have to salute both your honesty and your ingenuity. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm ready.
Oh, awesome. Good.
I haven't done any research.
Why would you? I think I even said specifically, don't watch any of these if you haven't seen them.
So, great, here we go. I'll just wing it.
Okay. So the reason I started to do this, because they released the Wolverine deleted scene.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw this, but I'll talk about that in a minute. But can you tell me, describe to the listeners what the ending to the Wolverine was?
Okay, so Wolverine's in a silo of some sort, right? He's in a silo. I assume it's filled with wheat, because that's what you put in a silo. Okay, so he's fighting a silver samurai robot.
Yep.
Filled with a Japanese man.
Spoilers for all these, by the way.
Too late. And then there's that woman who has weird poison / centipede robot powers.
Yep.
She's there, and he fights her, and then he gets his claws chopped off with a big hot knife, and then everything's fine.
Yeah.
I think.
And then he goes on a plane.
Then he goes on a plane, and then he meets future/past/present day. Professor X and Magneto.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You've nailed it.
Yeah, that's
I didn't remember the silo thing at all. Was that in a silo? Probably was.
Is it a missile silo, maybe? Doesn't matter.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ending here was that when they get on the plane, Yukio, his Japanese friend, gives him a case.
Yep.
And inside the case is the classic Wolverine costume.
The yellow one.
The yellower one. Have you seen this clip?
I think I've seen a still from it. I've seen a still from it, yeah.
They didn't put it in for obvious reasons.
What obvious reasons?
Well, it's taken out...
Because it looked ridiculous. Because you can imagine him putting it over his face and just people laughing in the cinema. Just ruining all the dramatic tension they've built. Is that why?
That's why. That's what I've got written. That's what I got written here.
That's the obvious
reason. No, it says it was the director said he took it out because it wasn't a good fit. And apparently it didn't test well because people were confused. Because if you don't know anything about the Wolverine, your only understanding of him would be the Hugh Jackman version.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't wear a mask ever. Yeah.
Sometimes he wears a leather suit.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes he wears a leather jacket.
Mm.
Sometimes he's
Peter
Allen.
Sometimes he takes advice from a kindly old couple in the woods, even though he's like 100 years older than them and would therefore be wiser than them. That he'd have more wisdom than them, both of them put together.
But now we've got the age-old question. Is age a sign of wisdom?
Yes.
There we go.
We've answered it. There we go, listeners. We did it again. Profound.
He also said that it created expectations for the next film that he was going to be in the suit.
Yeah, and that would look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Would it look ridiculous, though, back in the past, though? First class era.
Absolutely not. I think if you put him in a 1970s-ish kind of Wolf Brand suit, why not? That'll play.
Mm.
I think it's good that they took it out. I don't think it really serves any purpose.
It really would confuse people.
It was nice to see it, I guess.
Yeah, but you're right. People would be like, why?
What?
What is the significance of the yellow?
And he wouldn't wear that.
No, exactly. Yeah. Maybe if it were more samurai-ish.
Yeah.
And you'd think, oh, okay, it's symbolic of him being... You know, entering that culture and earning his place or whatever.
But it just because it looks like makes
no sense.
The other thing is, it's very specific to him because I looked at it closely. She would have to get his measurements, and also it's got the slits on the gloves where his claws come out. So it's very specific to him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how she made that.
You're right, that is weird.
Whatever. Better, worse, or what?
Worse.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Definitely
with that.
Worse. Yeah.
Nice to see it. Good little deleted scene, but, good call.
Mm-hmm.
Next one. Superman 2, 1980. You seen this one? Or
was
it 1981?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Does it?
The 80s.
Yep.
Good
the
times.
The 80s.
All I remember is he beats up Zod, and then he goes back to that cabin or whatever it is, that bar, and he beats up all those guys.
That one guy.
That one guy. Just like,
and he puts him in a pie.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's right, yeah. Just when you're the most powerful man in the world, what's great is a vindictive streak. And what he does is he gets in there and he...
Well, he has that in Man of Steel as well.
Yeah, I suppose.
I love that bit, actually. In Man. Not so much the truck, but you know the bit where the guy just shoves him and he's like a wall, like he doesn't even move. I was like, well, that's cool. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Am I correct in that? That's it.
That's pretty much the end.
Did I miss anything?
Well, the cellophane S that he throws, you missed.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Off his cape, sure.
And where he wipes Lois Lane's memory with a kiss.
Yes, yeah, okay, that's good, yeah.
But none of that has to do with anything. The deleted scene, and it's shown in one TV version. US Polar Patrol is shown picking up the three Kryptonians.
A Polar Patrol?
Polar Patrol. That's what it says.
All right.
Lex shown picking up the three Kryptonians and Lex Luthor at the end of the film, which means that they didn't die.
Right.
Which means he didn't kill them. So isn't that interesting?
It is.
He didn't just throw them into a pit of nothingness. Or Zod. He didn't... Actually, no, he only threw Zod. Lois Lane pushed...
Right.
The woman?
Lois Lane is also a murderer.
Yeah,
that's what
and
I'm saying.
The big guy went to fly and just fell.
Yeah, okay.
So, but they're still alive.
Huh.
And it also then ends with...
because they got depowered.
They got depowered.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
okay.
So I guess you could just lock them up and then slap them.
Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
But it also... And then it also ends with... I'm okay with... What do you think of that bit? If they showed them being
alive.
Yeah,
that makes sense more in a superhero movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's A-Team style. You know, hey, you all right? I'm all right.
I'm fine.
Yeah, that would make more sense. It's weird that they did seemingly kill them. Lois Lane especially. That's weird.
A lot of people reference that movie as well as why it's okay that Superman killed Zod.
Right, yeah.
Because they're like, well, he did it in the 80s, but like he also built a wall with his eyes in the 80s.
A lot of stuff is acceptable in the 80s. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. Do you think it's better? You think it's better?
Is there more to that?
Oh, there's a little bit more. Okay. The ending of this version also is Superman with Lois standing behind him. And he destroys the Fortress of Solitude.
Don't like that.
Why would you do that? Why would he do that?
That's Iron Man 3 style.
Yeah.
I just destroy all my suits. And then the Avengers show up and they're like, hey, we're going to another mission. And he's like, well...
I need a week.
Give me a week. Yeah.
So yeah, that bit I don't like so much. So we're going to say best for the first one. Not best. What was our rating again?
Doesn't matter. Better or worse. I'm going to go, what?
Okay, yeah, fair point.
Yeah.
I love it.
What an odd combination. Also, how does one TV... Where does this TV version show up? Like, how did it end up in the world?
Good question.
How did one TV station get...
It just said in one TV version. So
sounds made up.
Well, that's what they say.
What?
Apparently it's a filmed scene that's been filmed. Well, you know, actually, Bryan Singer wanted Jude Law for Superman Returns to play Zod.
And
when he didn't get him, he went, nah, we're going to do Lex Luthor again.
Oh, right.
He would have been a good Zod. I would have liked to see if they did do that, that Superman's got Zod in prison at the Fortress of Solitude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just been there the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's just gone crazy. I would have liked that.
Yeah.
But then again, I also would have liked a good Superman movie, so...
That's
fine.
Yep.
Okay, next one. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. The original Ninja Turtles film, which I would argue still holds up. Go.
When you say that, when was the last time you watched it?
We watched it at Brian's house about 8 years ago.
Huh.
Do you remember that?
Good old Brian. I don't
Not
remember
Brian,
that.
Brendan.
No, I don't remember that.
Do you think that's important that I get that name right?
I think it is, yeah, for everybody listening, definitely. Okay, so, Shredder falls off the roof.
Yep.
Lands in the garbage truck.
Yep.
Casey Jones kills him.
Yeah.
Just crushes him.
Well, supposedly kills him. He comes back, but
right.
For all intents and purposes,
he meant to kill him.
He goes, oops, and then he pulls the lever down quite dramatically on purpose.
And then Splinter says cowbunger, I think. Doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Makes it funny, yeah. I can't remember that. Yep.
That's pretty much it.
Huh.
This ending comes after that. A deleted epilogue shows April O'Neil entering the offices of a comic book publisher to pitch the idea of a Ninja Turtles comic, but only to have it shot down for being too far-fetched.
Worse. Much worse.
It's so meta!
Oh, it is, yeah. Oh, no. And they'd really... And it'd just be so smug. It's, ooh, and just so over... Ooh, it doesn't... That'd never sell. Ooh, you know. Also, what's she doing? Why does she need to make extra money?
That's a good
on the
point.
Side by going to a comic publisher.
She's a pretty successful reporter.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, no, isn't it? No, it's not in that movie where everybody figures out that they're real, is it? Because if it was like too far fetched, and then she was like, "Well, they're on television. They wrapped with Vanilla Ice.
That's right. Yeah,
that should have been the ending after two.
Yeah,
she goes
definitely.
In, he's like, in your face.
Yeah,
Vanilla Ice wrapped with them.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a couple of years ago, there was a animated sort of special called Ninja Turtles Forever.
I've seen that, or bits of it, yeah.
Yeah, where the 80s Ninja Turtles team up, the 80s animated Ninja Turtles team up with the modern day animated Ninja Turtles.
Not the modern, like the 2003 modern.
The 2003 modern, I'm so sorry. And then in turn they team up with the original Mirage comics.
Yeah.
When Teenage Mutant Ninja Black and White.
Red.
Yeah, the black and white Ninja Turtles. And to save the universe.
From Shredder.
Yeah, but at the end of that, we see them being drawn by the original creators in the 80s, I think.
And God. My brain.
So it kind of worked, I guess, as a little tribute. It was fun.
Yeah, I only watched clips of that.
Okay.
I thought it was a cool little, yeah, it was a cool little thing to do, but I wasn't really like, I'm not going to sit down.
No, don't sit down.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah. If you go back to those Ninja Turtles cartoons from the 80s and 90s, they're not very good. Like, they're like, wow. Like, you know, you go back to Batman and the anime.
And that's being said by a man who thinks the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie really holds up. So.
I said it somewhat holds up.
Okay, fine.
And by that I mean it's the best movie ever made.
Huh.
I wasn't allowed to see that movie when I was a kid. Actually, no, I wasn't. And I lost my mind. I was like, how could you not
wait, for how
see
long?
This? I don't know, until it was probably on TV, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did they soften their stance? Were they like, okay, since it's on TV, or did you sneak your way into
I think I just saw it on TV. I think they didn't care at that point. This is my parents, by the way. You know, you knew I was talking about my parents.
Yes, exactly. No,
but I got to see
two. Not the schoolyard bully. You're about to go to the cinema, and he's like, nope, not happening.
Nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I saw two at the cinema. Mm. There's a bit of trivia for you.
It's pretty great.
Here's one. Worse,
yeah,
right?
Worse,
yeah,
much
way
worse.
Ugh, agree.
Way worse.
Here we go. This is a good one. Empire Strikes Back.
Uh-huh.
Not a comic book movie.
Yep.
There's at least one Star Wars comic, am I right?
Yeah, but it's pop culture. That's fine.
No, it is. They're actually, they're doing a run of Star Wars at the moment. They're using George Lucas's original screenplay, and they're making it in comic book form. And it's all different and changed, and Han Solo's a lizard man. And
oh, the original screenplay.
Original.
Who's publishing this? Dark Horse?
I think it must be Dark Horse.
It must
be,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be versus aliens. It's going to be great. Yeah, okay. All right.
Sure.
Luke Skywalker gets a bit of the old choppy chop.
Yep.
Gets picked up by the Millennium Falcon.
Yep, that's how you say it.
Yep. Big revelations happen prior to that.
What's the revelation?
It's the Luke and Darth Vader and the father and the thing.
You're right.
Yeah, good. And the Carbonite.
And the Carbonite.
Han Solo gets trapped in Carbonite. These are out of order.
You've
or in order. It doesn't matter.
You've somehow remembered the ending to the most popular movie of all time.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty good, aren't they?
Well,
pretty good, yeah.
It's easily the best Star Wars, am I right?
Yes.
Definitely. Okay, so there was an alternative script. An original unused draft, which George Lucas didn't particularly like. Some of the elements are there, but a lot of it's changed. I'll tell you a bit of the stuff that's changed, and I'll tell you the new ending.
Lizard Man.
No Lizard Man?
Oh.
So this was after the success of Star Wars,
so
coming off the back of that.
Uh-huh.
The ending itself isn't that interesting, but I find the other stuff that was changed interesting. So originally, Luke was not Vader's son. Lando was a clone, left over from the Clone Wars.
Okay.
And it includes a Luke and Leia love scene.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Okay, I enjoy the fact that if any of that were true... In Attack of the Clones, they'd all be Lando Calrissian.
That would be great.
They'd all be Billy Dee Williams.
Yes.
That would be pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So better based solely on that.
Yep.
Luke and Leia love scene.
I think that thing Return of the Jedi was added a pretty late in the game. Because it's not hinted at all that they're brother and sister.
Yeah, I think...
And it was supposed to be that they were going to bring in a new character.
Yeah.
And that was going to be his sister. Because Yoda's like, you know, there is another Skywalker. Oh, and everyone's like, who's the other Skywalker? And then they're like, oh, it's Leia, don't worry about it.
Yeah, okay,
and
right.
That's kind of...
Well, see, you can't really win either way there. Because if you just introduced another character and said, by the way, that's your sister. We haven't seen her for the previous two movies, but that's her. She's the best Jedi ever also. Then people will be like, well, that's ridiculous. Why would you...
Yeah. Well, George Lucas was originally just going to keep making sequels, though.
Oh, I see, right.
And then well, he just went, nah, that...
Okay,
like,
okay well, I see that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess... The Luke, Leia thing, the brother and sister thing, that was added very late in the game.
Yep.
Is that because Han Solo became sort of the breakout, more popular character than Luke?
Possibly, yeah.
And they were like, well, we need to give him a love interest, yeah. So let's just switch some stuff out here.
I think it's good the way they do that, because... And like you'd think, looking at the first one, that she'd end up with Luke.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad they didn't do it that way though. Mm-hmm. Where they went, you know what? She wouldn't end up with Luke. She'd go with this super fucking cool guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the actual ending was though that those changes.
Yeah, side note. Yeah. Luke and Leia, did they do it or not?
Yeah. Well, there's a love scene. It's a love.
No, but I mean in the existing. Oh, do you reckon they did it? Do you reckon they did it, mate?
Definitely.
Yeah. Better. Yeah. Ooh. Ugh.
Gross.
Gross.
But hot. Mostly.
Mostly gross.
I think I just freaked someone out just then listening to that. Anyway. Yeah, I don't like those. I'm glad they changed that stuff. Except for Lando's clone thing. But like Luke not being Vader's son. That's
got the tweedly mustache.
Yeah.
All the clones have the mustache. So great.
Yeah. But I like the Vader's son thing. I'm glad they changed that. I think that makes it more interesting. Anyway, the original ending is pretty much... the same, except Luke doesn't lose his hand, which is less interesting, and everyone, including Han, gets away.
Uh-huh.
So that's way less interesting, right? What a cliffhanger that movie is.
Yeah. Mm.
And that few sequels have actually managed to replicate. Because a lot of sequels try to do the Han Solo kind of cliffhanger ending. Second Pirates of the Caribbean movie does it, where like Johnny Depp steps inside the Kraken and he disappears. And it's supposed to be like, will Captain Jack be back? Like, yeah, of course he will. He's the main character or whatever. Mm. Yeah. Or the most popular character. Han Solo, I think Harrison Ford wasn't actually originally signed up to do Return of the Jedi. Yeah. So they were like, we'll freeze him. And then if the next one, they're just like, no, he's dead. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Look, the freezing process didn't really take. He's so dead.
We said it did, but it didn't.
He's just a real block of wood. Hey, have you ever told your Han Solo story on the internet? Your Harrison Ford story?
I think I have, but that was probably a long time
Please
ago.
Please recap.
Okay, sure.
It delights me.
Okay, I actually heard this from the guy who plays Spartacus. You know, Liam McIntyre. I used to know him a bit.
Yeah.
He used to work at a cinema near me. He's a super cool dude, that guy, by the way. Have you met him?
No,
you
might
have
maybe.
You probably have. Great guy, Liam McIntyre.
I have very little memory for Hollywood superstars that I meet, so maybe I met him, maybe I didn't. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, he used to manage a cinema.
Uh-huh.
Not actually that long ago. Anyway, they had the, I think the movie was Firewall.
Oh, sure, Harrison Ford's Firewall.
And then Harrison Ford came out to promote it. Anyway, Harrison Ford is notorious for hating Star Wars and not wanting to talk about Star Wars and being a grumpy prick. Like, right, generally,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
I like him, but he is a grumpy prick.
Yeah.
But of course he's going to be. You do a movie 30 years ago, and every day someone's like, hey, what do you think about Han Solo? Do you think he'll ever be Han Solo again?
Yeah. Like, what do you think Han Solo's doing now? Do you think he's tending his spice garden? I think he is. I've made some drawings. Here they are.
Did they let you keep the vest?
Yeah.
Anyway, so basically, there was a guy who was there, who was waiting to see Harrison Ford. And he was in a wheelchair. And he was waiting there all day. Yeah, I know, right? He was waiting there all day. And he had with him a statue that he'd made, a Han Solo statue.
Uh-huh.
And I assume everyone was like, I hope this goes well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, cause like, so Harrison Ford turns up and he sees this guy.
Uh-huh.
And he goes over and he like bends down in front of him and he's like, hey man, what's happening? Like, that's amazing what you've made here. And the guy also had a scrapbook and Harrison Ford sat down with him and they flicked through the scrapbook together. And he showed him the whole process of how he made it. And Harrison Ford's sitting there like going, oh, that's great. Look at this. That's incredible. Anyways, at the end, he turns to him and goes, you know what? This whole thing you've done, it was all worth it. Good on you. And the guy like just burst into tears. It's like the best story ever.
That's the best story ever because there's a lot of tension in it. Because you don't know which way that's going to go. He could have just smashed that over the guy's head. Just smashed that statue.
So there's stuff like that that makes me think a lot of the stuff in Hollywood, like usually when Hollywood people snap or are grumpy, it's normally at publicity people or people being interviewed. But I think like regular people on the street, for the most part, I think actors in general would be pretty thankful, I'd imagine.
I would imagine so.
And have a lot of time. I mean, maybe it's just Harrison Ford. But that really surprised me. Not that I thought he was a prick, but since I heard that, I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Good on him. So yeah, there you go. There's my third-hand Harrison Ford story.
That's pretty good.
That I heard from Liam McIntyre, superstar.
Although, it potentially 6 days a week, he murders someone who mentions Star Wars, and it's just covered up because he's rich. We don't know. He covers it up with his fireball money, you know?
He sure does. Yeah. But anyway, that ending, better or worse or neither, or what?
Worse.
Yeah, I agree. Worse.
Yeah.
Good call.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right. Blade. Next one's Blade from 1998.
Yep.
What's happened at the end of Blade, Mason?
He hits him with all the injecty thingies, and then he blows...
Hits who with who?
Stephen Dorff.
Stephen Dorff hits...
No, Wesley Snipes, Blade, brackets Blade, hits Stephen Dorff, Deacon Frost,
yeah.
I remember his name,
yep.
With all the injecty thingies, with the injecty serum that
poison blood
that Chris Christopherson made.
Yep.
And he blows up like a pufferfish.
Yep.
And then he explodes, I think.
Does you're absolutely right. Well,
then... Blade goes to Russia. He goes to Russia. I think that might be the post-credit sequence. But he's like, hey, das vidanya, vampires, comrades.
What a great movie, Brian.
Pretty great. It was good.
I don't really remember it, to be honest. I think, Blade is to be thanked for a lot for kicking off the comic book movie genre. Again.
Definitely.
Because then people say it was X-Men. Some people say it was Spider-Man. But it was actually the Captain America movie from the early 90s.
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah, so this is the actual ending, though. Not the actual ending, sorry. This is the initial one. So, Dorff, instead of being kicked with all those things, or maybe he does that happen, he then becomes a sort of a blood monster, whirlwind CGI blood monster with Stephen Dorff's face.
Worse already. Worse.
I've actually seen this. And then that blood monster...
You've seen this. I
think it was on the DVD.
Right.
Which I definitely own.
Yeah.
And the blood monster tornado eventually succumbs to the poison and gets stabbed by Blade. How do you stab a tornado?
Well, he stabs him with like a big swizzle stick. Like one you'd use to swizzle a martini. He just sort of swooshes it around in there. It's a real big one. So he gets a really big Q-tip. He gets it in there and he soaks it all in. What year did this movie come out?
1998.
That was not a good year for CGI.
No, it wasn't. It really was.
You cannot. There's nothing worse. Actually, there's one thing worse than a CGI final battle, an all CGI final battle, and that's an all CGI final battle in the 90s. Because they could not do it.
No. And the thing was, though, people were under the impression at the time that, CGI can do anything. Like, you can do anything, yes, but this does not look good.
No.
Like, you can make whatever you want. Have you ever seen Lost in Space?
I quite like Lost in Space.
There's a CGI monkey in it.
Don't remember that.
Like, an alien monkey, and it looks literally like a hand-drawn cartoon. Like, it's amazing. Looks like something that fell out of Roger Rabbit.
Wow.
It's the worst thing ever. But anyway, what do you think of the vampire tornado?
Worse, yeah, much worse. Why would you?
I'm going to say what.
Okay, good, yeah. Cause... Yeah, blood tornado, that's a really good point, yeah.
Right, this next one's a short one. This one's from Thor 2011.
Ooh.
What happens at the end of Thor?
Thor?
Yep.
Rainbow Bridge, they break the Rainbow Bridge.
Yep.
Loki flies out into deep space.
Yep.
That's it.
And Thor gets trapped.
Oh, right.
On Asgard, because the Rainbow Bridge is... Rainbow Bridge? Rainbow Bridges.
Yes, Rainbow Bridges. Got all kinds of tears in them.
They're still in the wash.
Yeah.
But so basically what happens after that in this scene, it's actually quite a nice scene, but it's Jane Foster sets up a beacon to help Thor find Earth again.
Oh.
But you know what, though?
Yes.
It's a nice scene, but it makes sense they cut it out because he knows where Earth is.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
He's not coming back. It's clearly because something's gone wrong.
Right.
Or he's dead. he knows where Earth is, so it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worse.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Nice. I think it's a nice little deleted scene, but worse. Okay, I've got a few Terminator ones coming up.
Do you think a lot of these are going to result in us saying that alternate ending was better? Surely not.
I've got at least one here that is better.
All right.
Maybe two.
Okay, good.
Depending.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh, roll the dice. Here we go.
This one is for Terminator 1 from 1984. What happened at the end of Terminator 1 in 1984?
Yeah. Also, I think it should have been called Terminator 1 from the start. I think that makes it a better film.
Well, if I say the Terminator, people get confused.
They do, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know? Anyway, so go on.
Okay, so she crushes the Terminator in the press, right?
She does.
Yep.
She goes, "You're fucking terminated."
No, she doesn't.
She does, but in the TV, something like that, she does swear. Or she says, "You're terminated, fucker."
Right.
Or something like that.
Uh-huh.
In the TV version, they took it out. So for years, I didn't know that because I just had the VHS copy.
You didn't think there was any bad language in that film or any adult themes at all?
I didn't think there was any bad language in the world.
Wow. Oh, how times have changed, eh?
They sure have.
Yeah. Yeah?
And then that's the ending, and then she goes to hospital. And yes. Reese is dead. Kyle Reese.
Yep.
Mm. Anyway, the scene is, and I've seen this. I saw this years ago. You may have seen it as well. The factory that Sarah Connor destroys... the Terminator in, is revealed to be Skynet.
Doesn't make any sense.
But it does, because they have the arm in Terminator 2.
Yeah.
And it's Skynet.
Yeah.
Because that's why they have the arm. That's why they get the technology. Because they find the arm and the chip.
Right.
I think it adds.
But it's Skynet.
Yeah.
Is the cut not Cyberdyne?
Maybe it was Cyberdyne.
Okay, right.
It
might have been Skynet. Sense.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay,
yeah, doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Right, so it's not.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it's not the Skynet automotive plant or something like that.
No. Okay. No. Sorry. Right. I fucked that up.
You sure did. Yeah. Start again. Stop and start.
Sarah Connor.
Yep.
No, sorry.
I'm ambivalent.
Okay, cool.
I've added a fourth option. I'm ambivalent. To that, it's fine.
I'm going to say it's better. Maybe even better. I think it would have added to something. I think it's one of those things, yeah, you're right. It could have gone in or not gone in.
Yeah.
And then that's fine either way.
It's like some of those, in Terminator 2, and we'll probably get to Terminator 2 in a second, the effects are still amazing and they still hold up.
Aren't they?
But when you watch that director's cut, they've put in a couple of old effects shots, and you really, there was no reason to put those back in.
No.
Like, there's a scene, I think, where, right at the end, where the T-1000 is pretending to be Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
And John Connor looks down to see that her feet are sort of welded into
melty,
the ground.
Yeah.
They're all melty, but she's clearly just got boots on that have been painted to look like a gantry.
Well, the funny thing about that movie is, not funny, because it's not really funny.
Better be funny. You've set the bar now.
That Terminator 2 in particular, which we'll talk about just now, a lot of those effects are practical.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff with the T-1000, where his head gets split apart,
uh-huh.
And you know how he gets hit with a crowbar and he splits?
Yeah, and his arm.
That's like a suit.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole lot of stuff like that which is actually practical. I just thought that was incredible.
The bit where he's frozen in the liquid nitrogen and his legs come
off.
Guy without a leg.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And good that a guy without a leg can get some work. That's
true.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Yeah, that's great. You know what? Because
the part where he walks through the prison bars, actual guy with heaps of holes in his body. Just, he can just walk through prison bars. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good thing he's a good man.
It sure is.
He could rob some places.
He's the best man.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think that's great. I think that's James Cameron at that point. Knew the limitations of CGI and used it sparingly.
Yeah.
Which is great. And people should still learn from that today, I think.
Yes.
That's why that movie looks better than the monkey in
space. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there's another ending to Terminator 2, which nullifies Terminator 3 and 4.
Is that... Because I've read the novelization of it.
Oh, what's the ending of Terminator 2?
Oh, everybody's driving down the highway.
Yep.
Yeah. And she has this monologue about fate is what we make.
Yeah.
In the book, in the novelization, which I've read, which is probably Alan Dean Foster, who knows, or Craig Shaw-Gardner. It's one of those. They've got three names and they just do movie adaptations. She wakes up in the future.
Yep.
And she's all in like white robes and such. And she's all, oh, I'm just living out in the future. Future's great. And she's got like grandkids and stuff.
Okay, well, that's actually similar to this. So the ending is, and I remember I stayed up late on TV because they're like, we're going to show you the Terminator 2 ending that never was. And then they showed like a Terminator skull, and I'm like, this is going to blow everyone's mind. And this is what it is.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And it's incredibly disappointing.
No.
Oh. Okay. Following the fight at the Terminator, no, that's a different one. I'm reading from Terminator 4. Sorry, we'll get to that.
Yep. Skipping right over Terminator 3. Not an alternate ending worthy of our examination.
No.
Interesting.
It flash forwards to August 29th, 2029.
Uh-huh.
Sarah Connor is a grandmother, and yep. John Connor is a senator. And as Sarah sits in the playground filled with children, her voiceover reveals that they successfully prevented the Skynet revolution.
Hooray! That's kind of what I was, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what you said.
I don't know, I'm torn.
I mean, it would have capped off the movies.
Yeah, I kind of like a happy ending sometimes.
Sure.
But...
I think I'm just bitter because I stayed up late to watch
that once. Yeah. Uh-huh. Is that actually...
That's film. You can find that.
I've never seen it. Okay, yeah. I should check that out.
Yeah.
A
lot of these are films.
I do like the happy ending, but I do kind of like the ambivalence of the ending of the original Terminator 2, where, well, maybe it's going to happen again.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Well, I love that. They're like, and at the end of Terminator 2, they're like, fate is what you make of it.
Mm.
You make your own fate. And then in Terminator 3, they're like, nah.
Nope. Inevitable. How do you like that, idiot? I feel that was kind of what they were going for, maybe, at least in the script for Terminator 3, was that it's not that the evolution of Skynet is inevitable and it cannot be stopped anyway, but more that it's now an ongoing time war and it keeps going and going and going and Skynet and the Resistance keep sending people back in time.
Yeah.
Now that this time travel technology has been developed, it's going to keep happening in different ways.
Yeah.
And so in Terminator 3, it just happened to be that they go back and attempt to kill all these lieutenants, and then it winds up, they're trapped in a bunker and it goes to Terminator Salvation or whatever.
I like that.
But they could go back in time and do it again and end up in a different way.
Different future.
But I think what has happened in order to streamline it or whatever, they've just said, hey, Skynet's back, and you can't stop it. We're going to keep doing this.
Yeah, that's it. People would have been confused by alternative realities and multiple futures and whatever.
Mm.
Yeah. I am going to skip over Terminator 3, you're right.
Aww. Yeah.
Terminator 2 is such a good movie.
Yeah.
It really holds up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Terminator Salvation. Do you remember the ending of the abysmal Terminator Salvation?
Boy, do I. Okay, so what happens is, at the end of Terminator Salvation, it turns out that Skynet's entire plan from the start was to lure John Connor into that factory so they could kill him. But when they get when he gets in there, Skynet's pretty much unprepared for that. Like, what? In an ideal, if they had a proper plan, they would have been like, they would have tricked John Connor, and John Connor would have been like, the secret's in this factory, and he would have gone into the factory, and it was just filled with dynamite. Like, floor-to-ceiling dynamite, and they just fill it with poison gas and then like pile on all the Terminators on him just so he can't escape, and then they blow up the factory.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They sent one Terminator. Because apparently Skynet, despite being an emotionless artificial intelligence, is like...
An idiot?
An idiot, and like weirdly, like it's in the poetic justice of some sort.
Yeah.
Like, well, send Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, no, just the one.
There's so many dumb moments in that movie.
Yeah.
And I was excited for that movie because
the bit where he jumps out of a plane and
yes.
he hits the water, and then all of a sudden he's in a submarine.
And it's a storm.
Yeah.
Like the ocean is rolling. Like that movie where the boat goes really high and then flips.
Yeah.
Boat flip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he's just in the submarine. Yeah. They're like, you're a reckless loser, John Connor.
Yeah.
And you know, in the whole movie as well, people are like, John Connor's the one who's prophesied to lead the resistance. Nobody knows that except John Connor.
Right.
So the only reason that that would be a rumor is because he started
that rumor. What an asshole.
I got another thing to say.
Yes.
Anton Yelchin, who's a great actor.
Yelchon.
Yep. He's in Fright Night. Uh-huh. That Fright Night remake, which is actually pretty good. Uh-huh. I actually think it's better than the original Fright Night. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll fucking say it.
Yeah, wow.
The original Fright Night is not good.
Yep.
Okay. He's Kyle Reese.
Uh-huh.
And there's a point where the Terminator, like a Terminator drone, sees him and recognizes him and goes, this is Kyle Reese.
Right.
And then they go
up
and
they're like, the father of John Connor.
The father of John Connor. And so, like, why does the Terminator know that?
Yeah. But also, if they do know that, why wouldn't they just kill him?
Why wouldn't they just kill him?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Ugh, it's nonsense.
Hmm.
God, I hate that movie. Anyway, the ending.
Yep.
But I do love the Christian Bale flip out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every time I listen to that, I haven't listened to it a lot recently, but any time I do, I develop a new favourite part of that. Like,
I like the scuffling bit, where he's clearly trying to scuffle to get this
initially,
guy.
Initially, my favourite part was where he was like, McGee! Like, because he was clearly trying to get the director, like, involved.
McGee nearly did Superman as well, sorry, go on.
McGee! Right, but so that was my favourite part. But then, later on, in later period, me listening to this, my favourite part has become the bit where he's like, oh, da 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 da! Right, because you can't, it's audio only, but you can see him sort of flouncing about, like waving his arms side to side as he prances about.
I think you said this to me as well. Do you think he made the conscious decision to get really angry in his American accent?
Yes, just to see how he could do it, yeah.
Because he's British, exactly. Yeah. So yeah.
Welsh.
Well, I'm sorry, Welsh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, Welsh is part of Britain, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
The country's called Welsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it. Okay, so the original ending, or one of the endings was the script called for John Connor to die from his wounds.
Because
remember, he gets stabbed through the heart?
Yes.
Everybody gets hit in the heart in that movie
as well.
There's a bit where the Terminator sees, is fighting the human Terminator guy. What's his name? Marcus something. Played by Sam Worthington.
Sam Worthington.
And it zooms in on him and it detects his heart and you see his heart and it goes, oh, weakness detected.
Right.
And it punches him in the heart and stops his heart. But anyway, at the end, John Connor gets a heart transplant.
From Sam Worthington.
Who's been punched in the heart.
So it's just a jelly heart.
Yeah. And apparently you can just do a heart surgery in the
future.
What
they probably just did is they cut Sam Worthington open and they just stuck a tube in there and the liquid remnants of his heart, they just poured into Christian Bale's chest. And on the subject of Fright Night, because you mentioned Fright Night, Anton Yelchin in Fright Night.
Yeah.
Here's my favourite Fright Night fact.
Go.
So, Fright Night was the remake of the one from the 80s.
Yeah.
And I watched that in preparation for
watching. We watched it together.
Yeah, in preparation for watching the new one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, there's a character in it, and his name's Evil Eddie, and he's like the annoying sidekick of of the main character.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fascinating. There's always, in the 80s, movies in the 80s, there's always like an annoying side character. I wonder what kind of career like an annoying side character has. Like, does he become the annoying side character in like a series of movies? Does he grow up and become a serious actor? Like, he's been in Stuff We Know. So anyway, I IMDb'd him and I've got it here. I just looked it up. So after Fright Night, like, he's done a couple more horror films.
Good.
And then, like, in 95, he did Mechanics by Day, Lube Job by Night.
Wait a minute.
Then he did Virtual Stud. He did Just 18 and Gay. Latin Crotch Rockets. Hunk Hotel. Leather After Midnight. Transsexual Prostitutes. Motel Sex. Cockpit. Manhunt. Transsexual Prostitutes 2. So that first one was quite
promising. Warranted a sequel.
Yeah, Buff and Gay. Black Men, White Men. Bus Blazer. Uncut Glory. Leather Buddies. Which sounds quite nice.
They're really creative these days. Yeah,
Leather Virgin, Private Temptations, Halfway House Hunks, Gay Men in Uniform, Guys Who Crave Big Cocks, which is a bit much, quite frankly. In 2002,
it's a little tasteless.
Yeah, in 2002, Semen Training Day.
What?
And then he's back in irregular movies. I don't know how he did that, but that's amazing, right?
That is amazing. Oh, my God. That's a lot of gay porn.
That sure is. But good on him.
Good on him.
For finding his niche.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. If that's what you want to do, good on him, man. Yeah. Good on him. He's annoying in that movie, though.
Yeah. I wonder how much gay porn Anthony Yelchin's going to get. He's pretty.
He's so pretty.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie where it's about her? He has the long-distance relationship with the girl?
Is it Butt Blazer?
Butt Blazer, yeah.
Right.
I don't know what it's called. Oh, it's great though. It's really good. Yep. It's really moving. Yep. I'll say it.
Charlie Bartlett is good in that too. I
haven't seen it.
Robert Downey Jr. is in it. And Kat Dennings.
You love Kat Dennings.
I do, yeah.
Okay. So the ending was going to be that Marcus takes the place of John Connor as the resistance leader and just says, I'm John Connor, because nobody knows what John Connor looks like.
Yep.
So there you go.
Great.
Was that worth all that talk of Terminator Salvation?
Yeah.
I think worse.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter, exactly.
You know what, though? At least it's
future
creative.
Future John Connor, it's irrelevant because he never goes back in time. So doesn't, yeah.
He should, though.
Mm.
What a prick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sending everybody else. Sends his dad. I guess he had to.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's that. Mm-hmm. Done.
Great. Okay. Wait. What?
Yeah.
There we go, yeah.
I'm going to say ambivalent.
Yeah. Okay.
Because your rating.
Oh, I should have said ambivalent, but it's too late now.
I got another X-Men film here.
I'm ready.
X-Men The Last Stand.
Yep.
This is boring, but I feel like I had to include it because it's a comic book movie.
Right.
Okay, do you remember the original ending of X-Men The Last Stand?
They move the bridge?
Yep.
There's a fight?
Yep. Someone yells, Gene!
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. That's always good. That's pretty great. And then Magneto gets demutantized.
Yes.
And then...
And so does Rogue.
Oh, yeah. And then Wolverine chops up Jean Grey. Jean!
He sure does.
Yeah.
You've remembered that pretty much spot on. And then there's also a scene where you see Magneto starting to get his powers back.
He gets his powers back, yeah.
Which apparently he does because...
Well, because it does in future past.
And also, so this ending had a new year starting at the X-Men school with Beast in charge. So, because, you know, Professor X was obliterated.
He exploded.
Professor X, I think the term as you used, was Professor X.
Yeah, you've got Professor X. you wouldn't believe.
Where he gets removed from every movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Where was I? Rogue returns back to campus with full powers, and Logan Wolverine returns to Canada, and then he's having a beer in the original film's bar. Remember the original movie?
Oh, vaguely.
You know, and then the guys come at him, and they're like,
yep,
we know you're a guy that's different.
Uh-huh. We don't care for that. Where we are from in this vague area, we won't actually say what state it is, because that would be derogatory towards that state.
So, yeah, better, worst, ambivalent, what is it?
That would be, that'd be better.
I think it's worse because...
Oh, well.
I like the fact that they kind of left it open to, does the powers come back?
Right, yeah,
and then they're just like, no, they do. Don't
worry
about it.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point, actually.
But, you know,
yeah, all right. Cool. Worse, you're right.
I am right.
Yeah.
Next one, I Am Legend. Again, not a comic book movie, but it's based on a book. And book and comic book, they're similar, aren't they?
They are similar words, certainly. One has one less word in it.
Yeah.
That's book.
Yeah.
And as we've taught previously, books are for nerds.
Sure are.
But this is a novella, which is not quite a book.
No.
But so you can knock it off in an afternoon and you're not a nerd.
That's a great book, actually.
It is.
I read that in preparation for I Am Legend. They're very, very different.
Yeah.
And the book is infinitely
better. Annoys me. Because I Am Legend has been filmed before this.
Has it?
Like another, it was filmed as The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price.
You're right.
And it was The Omega Man with Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
But in both cases, they changed it a lot, but they also changed the name. And in this one, old mate Will Smith decided that this was going to be the definitive version, so why change the name?
Yeah.
But changed everything else.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly annoying.
Yeah.
And it was terrible.
And it was... You know, I didn't think it was that bad. Actually, the guy who made that did Hunger Games, new Hunger Games.
Well, he's improved a lot then, hasn't he?
Sure, he certainly
because
has.
I Am Legend was terrible.
That's, you know, there's a few things that let down that movie, namely the CGI vampires. And they are vampires as well. That's one thing they never specify. They're vampires.
In the book, they're vampires.
Sure. Yeah.
They're very definitively vampires.
Yeah.
They? And they retain their intelligence.
Yeah.
They retain their old memories. They can
some
speak.
Do. Mm. Some
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great book. If you haven't read it, absolutely read it.
Yeah.
And also, the reason
let's not spoil that.
No, let's not. Go and read on.
We haven't spoiled it because we know the vampire's going. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we know
great.
The vampire's going. Okay. But what was I going to say? Oh, I'm assuming there's some kind of terrible prequel comic.
I would hope. Yeah, definitely. Oh, I bet there is. Yeah.
Anyway. Now, in the original ending, do you remember what happens?
In the original... Oh, and also that annoys me. Because, without spoiling anything in the book, the reason it's called I Am Legend is there's a line in the dialogue where somebody says the words, I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Which never happens in the movie.
No.
Somebody says he was a legend.
Yeah.
Right? So that movie should have been called, Is a Bit of a Bloody Legend, isn't he? That's what they should have called it. That would have been, I probably would have watched that. Had they just changed the name a little bit.
And then, and it makes so much sense when it says I Am Legend, you go, oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. It ties everything up.
That was great, yeah.
What a great book.
Okay, so in...
And it's from like the 50s.
Yeah.
And nothing good happened in the
50s, I know, right?
There's
sure. That just that thing, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
The Red Menace and that book, both great things. So in I Am Legend, they're trapped in a lab of some sort or
yep,
something?
Yep, yep.
And then the love interest escapes.
Yep.
With a... There's a little girl, maybe?
What happens to Will Smith?
He blows himself up.
He explodes,
with a grenade.
Yeah.
Yeah, or he just explodes. With fame. Fame and self-importance.
He explodes into a blood tornado.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
With
yeah.
Stephen Dorff's face.
Oh, boy. Wonderful. Okay, so he explodes.
Yeah.
And then with all the vampire creatures. What are they called? Dark Seekers. They're called Dark Seekers or
sure,
something.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
And then he blows them up.
Yeah.
And then the...
He's got the cure. She gets the cure.
She the cure, and she goes to the secret...
Yeah.
Secret place.
And where she goes, he's a bit of a bloody legend.
He's a bit of a bloody legend, that guy. And then he saves the universe.
Okay, this ending is better. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you what the ending is, then I'm going to explain why.
Okay.
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 The alpha male, you know the alpha male that's after him?
Yep.
The CGI-looking alpha male. Him and Neville share the realization.
Neville.
That's his name.
I
yeah.
know.
What's a 1950s book?
Yeah, I
they
know.
They kept that.
Yeah, they could, yeah. Should have changed the name.
At least they didn't call him
Will Smith does not look like a Neville.
No, he doesn't. He looks like a Nev. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
He looks like a Nev Campbell.
Ooh.
Or is it Neve Campbell?
It's Neve now.
Cool. Mm. So, in the original ending,
yep.
This, which is filmed as well, I've seen this, the alpha male, the head of the vampire dark men, and Neville share the realization...
Neville.
That was it, that the woman vampire that he kidnapped that he was testing on is that vampire... Yeah, the vampire is that head vampire's... Is that head vampire's kind of girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And that's why he's coming after Neville.
Oh, but I don't want to say that exact word, girlfriend. We're just... We're hanging out, we're spending some time together, but I don't want to, you know, don't want to put labels on things, you know, we're just taking it one day at a time and just seeing where it goes.
Yeah,
know?
That's it.
I'm going to be busy for the next couple, I've got work and stuff, if I don't answer my phone, it's because I'm at work, and but I'll call you very soon.
Definitely.
Anyway, I'm sorry. You're about that.
You nail that voice as well.
That's good, isn't it?
But it just sounds like, yeah, so they share the realization that and Neville gives him back. He goes, oh, this is your girlfriend.
Right.
And he gives him back and they leave. So it's not an explosive finale. Will Smith lives and then they go off together with the cure.
Right.
So, and that's the reason why that vampire is targeting him specifically. Because there's a bit where it sets a trap for him.
Yep.
Twice.
Yeah.
Where the noose where he gets hung upside down.
Uh-huh.
There's the bit where they ambush him at the dock.
Yep.
And there's the bit where when he first captures that vampette.
Yes.
Your word. The vampire,
Vampalina.
The vampire steps into the sun.
Yep.
And he goes,
to save her, yeah.
Yeah, and he goes, I've never seen that happen before.
Right, right, right.
They must be getting stupider.
Yeah.
But the reason it steps into the sun because it takes his girlfriend. So all those things happen.
Yep.
And then he runs at them with a grenade, which makes no sense.
It makes no sense and it's a bit mean.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
So I think that makes that movie infinitely better.
But still not very good. Okay, I believe better but not very good.
Still. Fair point.
Yeah. It's better but I don't care.
Also, it turns out that he is legend. I've written that here.
He is a real bloody legend, you know?
This one...
What a champ.
It
should have been called, he was a bloody legend, colon, what a champ.
This is probably one of my favourite ones.
Yep.
It's from Batman 1989.
Okay. I'm familiar with Batman 1989.
I know you are. Did you see that in the cinema?
Yes.
No, I didn't. Again, too dark. I was too young.
Huh. I remember seeing that. Because I would always watch the 1960s Batman TV show.
Yeah.
And it was fun, but I'm always like, everybody's having fun on this show. And then I saw the trailer, and I'm like, for the 1989 Batman movie, and I'm like, oh my god, Batman's real. He's a real... Because he had the black costume, and he had the car, and the Joker was this horrible monster with a frozen grin. But having... And you know, the other day, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to revisit that magic. I'm going to watch that trailer again.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah, it is.
It's so poorly paced. No, the movie's still great.
I would disagree.
But the trailer is so... It's one of those trailers from the 80s.
Yeah.
Which is assorted random scenes.
Yeah.
That's shoehorned together and there's no...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Weird audio.
Yeah.
Weird music cues. Anyway, yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Batman 1989.
What's the ending? Do you remember?
He murders the Joker. Remember that? That was good, wasn't it?
He grappling hooks into a gargoyle.
Yeah. And then it weighs him down. And then his options are have his leg torn off,
yeah,
or fall to his death, and he falls to his death.
When I was a kid, a very young man, I remember I went to one of my parents' friends' house.
Yep.
And you know when you're a kid, I don't know about you, but I hated all my parents' friends' kids.
Yep, boring.
Most of them. Because I'm like, why are you forcing me to hang out with this guy? Like, we have nothing in common. And when you leave the room, he punches me because he's, he's like 3 feet taller than
right,
me.
Right, okay.
And he's older. Anyway, I went to this guy's house and he's like, what movie do you want to watch? So I'm like, I want to watch Batman. You've got Batman. You're one of those kids with a TV in your room and right. a VHS player.
Because
you're one of those prick kids right. from the 90s. He was like a villain from the, villain from the 90s. Yeah, yeah.
And he wore a little ascot and a blazer.
That's it. And he was much older than me and clearly smarter. He kind of looked like, Buzz from Home Alone, you know, Macaulay Culkin's older brother with like the pig face.
Uh-huh.
So he drew out the whole process of, okay, we could do it. How about we hold a raffle? And he cut up all these little tickets to like, so we could do like a raffle and we can draw which one it was. And by the time that he managed to do this, my parents came in and like, we're going to go.
Huh.
So I missed it. And if I ever see that guy again, I'm going to knock all these fucking teeth out. Like legitimately.
Wow. Wow. This is your own. You're going to tie that guy to a gargoyle. Push him out of a helicopter.
What a prick.
Yeah.
He was also one of those guys who'd play the Nintendo.
I see why you've created this podcast. It's to do about 9 episodes to cover up what this is, and then you're just going to let loose on all your childhood bullies. I understand. I get it. I don't approve, but, you know, do your thing.
Sure.
Anyway, sorry.
He also had a Nintendo, and he'd just play it in front of me for hours.
Huh.
Just be like, no, you can't play.
Wow.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
Man, I hate that guy.
Does that have anything to do with the ending of Batman?
So
nobody told Tim Burton that the Joker, that Batman doesn't just kill his opponents.
Well, apparently, like you said, I'd certainly never read a comic book instead of this very famous quote, especially something by Kevin Smith, when he was attacking Kevin Smith. And Kevin Smith said, well, that clearly explains the first Batman movie.
Right.
Which is true, because the Batman movie has so little to do with Batman, having Batman in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, an unofficial version of the film has aired on Latin TV. It did air on Latin TV at least once.
Televisionale Latino.
That's the one.
Yes.
Besides being dubbed into Spanish, the film's ending is heavily edited.
Ooh.
And it's as follows. Okay. So when the Joker puts on the glasses and says, you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses on, would you? Batman punches him, knocks him over the edge, and he dies. He just plummets to his death and dies.
Wow.
So it's just, he gets punched, and then it cuts to the Joker falling, and then he's dead.
That sounds like some sort of, like, for whatever reason, they only have, like, 87 minutes to put the movie on, but it goes for, like, 95 or whatever, and they're like, we'll just cut out the last 5 minutes.
the climatic battle. Cut out the bit with the art!
Yeah.
Come on!
Yeah. Cut out all the Prince songs. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's pretty great. So they've done the punch. They've edited out everything, the helicopter and the getting to the roof and blah de blah.
Yeah.
And they've just put in that last bit where he animated Joker falls to his death.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
It's
kind of funnier.
I definitely want to say
and
that.
And it sounds like an accident, unless it wasn't an accident.
Right.
You know, like he knocked him off the edge on purpose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, pretty amazing. I hope
there's just an outtake of Michael Keaton, like, ooh. Oh, boy.
Great movie.
Yep.
Not really.
Yep.
Anyway, next one. Another Star Wars movie. Return of the Jedi from 1983.
Ewoks, I don't really remember how it ends.
Han Solo and the Ewoks.
Does everybody get a medal at the end? I can't remember how it ends now. Okay, so they're in the... Are they in the second Death?
They're in the second Death Star.
Okay, they're in the second Death Star, and Darth Vader's going to kill Luke.
Yep.
And then
Emperor's going to kill Luke.
And then Darth Vader's like, and he grabs.
That's what they added in. They added the no recently. There was never a no, and George Lucas recently went back and he goes no, and he picks up the Emperor.
Right.
It's implied that he doesn't want him to do that. You don't need him to say no.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't look like an accident. Yeah, that's true.
Not a Batman-esque accident.
And then he falls down the drive shaft or whatever it is and they die.
Yeah.
Right?
I would have loved to have seen a bit. And then they did this on Robot
Chicken. And then at the end... No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, they did this on Robot Chicken where the Emperor falls through and he just falls past the Millennium Falcon as it's flying into the center of the Death Star.
I think
Robot Chicken or maybe Family Guy did that. Anyway, so go on.
So, and at the end, Darth Vader's then allowed to appear in the...
They go to heaven.
Which, as a child, I did not buy.
Yeah.
This is the first... I think this is the first instance of that where I'm like, yeah, you saved your child.
Yeah.
But you also blew up that planet with millions of, billions of people on it.
Well, Grand Moff Tarkin did that.
He did. He could have stopped
it. I think you said this to me once. You said it would be like...
I'll tell you what it'd be like. It'd be like if it's the end of World War II.
Yep.
And Hitler and Stalin teamed up to fight, like, to destroy the Allies, right? And the end, like, and they're in, like, Stalin's palace, because I assume he has a palace.
Sure.
Right? And Stalin's like, look what I found, Hitler. It's your son, and he's in the resistance. And Hitler's like, no, he grabs Stalin, and he throws him down the drive shaft of the palace.
he's still Hitler.
He's still Hitler, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, space Hitler.
He wouldn't get to show up in heaven.
No.
In Allied heaven.
That's really unfair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super unfair.
Yeah. Because yeah, it's his son. It's ridiculous. Of course he's going to save his own son.
Yeah.
He could still be a bad person.
Exactly.
He is a bad person.
Yeah.
He's the worst person.
Yeah. He chopped up all those kids, remember?
For no reason.
Yeah.
God.
He probably cheated in that pod race. Did he? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Or does it? What a terrible story arc that guy has.
I know, the worst.
And you know what? They made it bad. It wasn't bad. And then they made it bad.
Mm.
By over-explaining it. And just, oh my God. You know what? I'm not even going to
get into
it.
Let's save it for another pod. Let's save it for another podcast.
Anyway.
Yeah, we'll save it for just, we'll just go to a high mountaintop and just scream for a couple hours.
That's right. Now, the original ending, or one of the considered endings, and Harrison Ford very much wanted to do this, was that Han Solo dies in the raid on the Imperial base.
Yep.
And wouldn't that... I thought that would have been really
good. Do you think that he wanted Han Solo to die, or do you think they were just filming one day, and the director was like, hey, Harrison, how do you feel? And he's like, I want to die. He's got his head in his hands. He's like, I want to die. And they're like, oh, we'll write that in. We'll see how that tests. We'll put that in. And he's like, you don't get it.
Well, famously, what is it? He said in an interview, it's probably not famously, that he goes, Harrison Ford goes, George Lucas thought there were no money in dead Han Solo toys.
Right.
Which is true, I guess.
Oh, I don't know.
But I think, and I said this in my Making Star Wars Not Terrible video. On
no,
YouTube,
you and your videos. God.
That they should kill Han Solo in the first Star Wars, in the new one.
In the first 10 minutes.
The first 10 minutes, that'd be amazing. And he shows up, and then they introduce the villain. A villain that they keep through the trilogy, by the way.
Yep.
Unlike the prequels where they're like, here's Darth Maul, dead. Here's Dooku,
dead.
Here's Grievous, he's in it for 10 minutes, dead.
Yep.
Like, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Darth Maul should have ran through that whole movie.
Yep.
Those whole series. Anyway, and you get the villain to kill Han Solo. And how, like war champion... Man of the People, Han Solo, gets shot in the face on television.
Yeah, exactly.
And imagine how much everybody would hate that villain.
You know what? It would be amazing. All the fans would hate the villain and they'd want to just keep watching to see him get his.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford would get to die, which is his fondest wish in that whole, like, both in real life and in the movie franchise. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You pull that?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. All right, so that obviously was not what happened. They had Harrison Ford also said they ended up having a teddy bear picnic at the end.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
Return of the Jedi sags in the middle in a big way. Uh-huh. The start is amazing in the Jabba's Palace. The end confrontation with Luke and Vader is amazing. All that stuff in the middle is...
Remember when they said, they were like, oh, we found this footage from the start of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And it's Luke building, like a guy in a hood, and he's building the lightsaber, and he lights it up. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You didn't find that.
They didn't find
that. You made that.
Yeah.
And also, that would rob robs Return of the Jedi, that entire bit at the start.
Yep.
Where you think he's unarmed, you think he's done for, and then bang, green lightsaber.
Yeah, and because nobody had seen a green lightsaber at that point. It had been blue and red, and then they just do purple now or whatever.
Yeah.
And that purple lightsaber, Sam Jackson just said, I want a purple lightsaber. And George Lucas was like, well, they're only really blue and red and whatever. And he's like, no.
Great.
Purple.
Mm.
Yeah, that whole reveal would have been completely spoiled. What a dumb scene.
Yeah.
Nah, that scene, they filmed that. What a pack of jerks.
I know, right?
Yeah. Anyway, next one. Not a comic book movie in any way, but I want to talk about it.
All right, here
I'm
we
sure
go.
There's a I've never seen this, but I know you've seen it. Highlander 2, The Quickening.
One of the worst sequels of all time. One of the worst films of all time.
Go. What happens in the end?
Okay, so...
I have no idea.
Do you know anything about the Highlander films?
I you know, break it down for me. I've seen the first one. I've seen the third one.
Okay, so the first one... The first one, it's sort of this... It's going to sound ridiculous when you break it down, but I think it's a really good film.
Yeah, I agree.
Where it's sort of this unexplained magic of Earth or of the universe grants certain people randomly throughout the world the ability, they're immortal. That's their power. And for whatever reason, they all have come to believe that there is a prize if the for the last one alive.
Yeah.
And so that's why they wander around the Earth throughout the years killing each other. And at the end of, and then at some point there becomes this gathering where the last remaining immortals all are drawn to this one place. They fight to the death. There's one left and he gets this prize. And
the prize is?
Well, it's a bit vague.
Jenga.
Yeah, it's Jenga. The prize
it's a box
is,
of Jenga.
Yeah, it's a box of Jenga. And he's no good at Jenga. It's unfortunate. But the first one is great because it's got this huge scope of all this, you know, all this. We see these characters move throughout history.
Oh, it's incredible, yeah.
And but at the same time,
a lot
time,
of it's told in flashbacks.
Yeah, and it also has a very good characters with a lot of depth, and it has a very well defined beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
Very specifically, it's got an end.
Yeah.
And you know, we can spoil it. It's fine because it's a million years old at this point, but. Connor McLeod, the hero of the film, he wins the prize. He gains a sort of an understanding of all the world and the thoughts of all men, and he can grow old again and have kids, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
And it didn't do well at the box office, but for whatever reason, they decided that they would do a sequel.
Did that not do well?
I don't think so.
It's better than He-Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. You know.
But. And again, for whatever reason, instead of maybe setting it, you know, maybe just the adventures of Highlander back in the day or whatever.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, instead, which is kind of the Highlander of the TV series, what they did is they decided to change it from this fantasy universe to this weird sci-fi universe where...
Future.
Yeah, virtually the future is like 2020 something.
And he's old initially.
He's old because he's lost his immortality and he's just growing old as a normal man. And it was... environmental issues. The ozone layer had been depleted.
Early 90s.
Yep, so they'd built this electromagnetic shield around the world for ozone protection. But it turns out, we realize that the immortals aren't from this unexplained magical universe. They're from another planet.
Yeah.
And they were rebels fighting against General Katana, who's an alien. And they captured Connor McLeod and Ramirez, played by Sean Connery, who were planning this rebellion.
Who's dead at this point, by the way.
Yeah, who's dead at this point. And so what they did is, as punishment, they sent them through time and space to the past, where they became immortals in the setting of the first film.
Yeah.
And so at this point, they've decided that... They decide that... Oh, this is so confusing. Well, the thing about Highlander apologists on the internet, the only way any of the movies make sense is if you assume they all take place in separate universes. Because none of the continuity makes any sense. They all contradict one another, and they're all awful. So anyway, this ruler guy decides that what he's going to do is he doesn't want Connor McLeod to cause any more trouble, so he sends two of his henchmen through space to Earth.
Even though he's a dying old man.
How
come he doesn't remember?
I don't know. I don't think... Maybe it's explained, Matt. Why don't I remember?
That's the real question.
Maybe he's blocking it out. But anyway, so he kills these guys and he gets his immortality back.
Mm.
And that also brings Ramirez back from the dead.
Yep.
With magic. Yep. Or is it science? Who's to know? Anyway, it's awful. And anyway, the point is that everybody teams up and has weird alliances and rivalries. And then Connor McLeod kills Michael Ironside. And
in real life.
Yeah, in real life. And the quickening destroys the shield, and then it turns out Earth was fine anyway. And then I think, because he's killed all the immortals again, he gets the prize again. But this time the prize is to
Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Yeah, this is Hungry Hungry Hippos, but also he gets to go back to his home planet, Poochie style. So him and the new girlfriend that he picks up in Highlander 2, they sort of turn into light, and they disappear into space because they're going back to their home planet.
I think you've actually seen the alternative ending.
I might have seen that. They're all sort of samey-ish, I think.
Because in this ending, it says shown in some European countries only. And probably Australia.
We're a European country.
We're Europe-ish.
Yeah.
In no way. Well, we're founded by Europe, aren't we?
Yeah.
Sure. Bit of history there for everybody.
So good.
That Connor floats up into the sky, asks Louise to go with him. I presume that's his new girlfriend. And they fly off and return to his home planet. So you saw that ending.
I think so. But I think there's another... I remember reading about this, and I think there's an alternate ending where you actually see the planet.
Okay.
Like, they actually go... They appear on that planet. So...
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, great. It's a real winner.
It sure is. Worst, better, irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
Who cares?
Don't see it.
I want to watch it one day.
See Highlander 1, that's good.
Yep.
See Highlander 4, Endgame, which is pretty good.
Oh, okay. That's like the late 90s one, yeah.
And then the one that span off into
the TV show.
No, the TV series span off into that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Cool.
Alternate universes, though.
Goodness gracious, mate.
Don't see 2, 3, or 5. 5's not good.
Done.
Yep.
Okay, there we go.
Great.
Next one. Not a comic book movie, but it's very comic book based.
Here we go.
In a way. Clerks from 1994.
Yep.
The original ending, do you remember?
It just
ends?
Yeah, it just sort of ends. He throws him the sign or whatever, the open sign, and he's like, your face is closed or whatever, and then he leaves. One of them leaves.
Yep.
Dante or Randall, which one? It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, in the original ending, and this was filmed, because Kevin Smith didn't know how to end it.
Yep.
His first film or whatever. What an effort to put that film together as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But just as Dante closes the store, a guy comes in and shoots him dead, then he takes some cigarettes.
Great.
And that's the ending.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I like Clerks too, a lot. Yeah. I think we saw that together.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people don't like Clerks, so I like it quite a bit.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, but I'm glad they didn't go with that ending. Mm. But that also ties into the whole movie. He always says, I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
Right.
And then he gets shot.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Great happy ending. I love it. Yeah.
Great happy ending.
Worse.
I agree.
Yeah.
Iron Man 2.
Burp.
Do you remember the ending?
Yeah, robots.
Yep.
They don't kill Mickey Rourke, even though his head's uncovered for most of the film.
Don't they kill him in the original ending?
No, they do, but they kill him right at the end. Like, they could have killed him, like, 15 minutes
on the racetrack.
Again... A real opportunity for them to, like, launch a missile. It just flies around, just hangs out for a bit, gets a cup of coffee or whatever. And then when Mickey Rourke shows up, not wearing a helmet, smacks him in the back of the head. Just bursts that thing like a
helmet. He does show up with the helmet, then he takes the helmet off. And he's like, it's me, Mickey Rourke.
Oh, right.
And okay. Yeah. That's Mickey Rourke, guys.
Hey, guys, it's Mickey Rourke.
Good Laser on. Whips.
Yep.
So the original ending was... this one, it's another one that... It shouldn't even be on here because it's so uninteresting.
Yeah.
Mickey Rourke's whiplash holds Pepper Potts hostage with his mini whips.
With prompting... his what? His mini whips.
Yeah, mini whips.
Are they like mini wheats?
Yep. Prompting Stark to come and rescue her. Some nifty teamwork between him and Potts allow them both to escape. And then Rhodey blows him up.
Great.
You know, if you said to me that was the actual ending, I would have gone, okay.
Yeah, it seems...
Because I don't remember.
It seems... Yeah, that makes sort of sense.
Yeah.
But if you recall, in the original ending, they team up.
Yeah.
Repulsa style.
They do.
And then... Oh, then he self-destructs himself.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He predators it.
Yeah, he did tell his predators it.
Bitches out.
Yeah. What an idiot.
Okay. Iron Man 3. We've talked about this before. Uh-huh. Ending of Iron Man 3... He blows up his suits. We said that in this one.
Exactly,
anything you want to add?
Well, that's... It's not... It's just really symbolic, you know?
It
the
is.
The love. Because he is a billionaire. And he can build one of those suits in like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So.
If I burnt down the place where I live, I would be in some serious shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. It is symbolic. Mm. Yeah. And it's Christmas also.
Oh, yeah.
The original ending, we've talked about this before... Trevor Slattery uses Extremis, and then he explodes.
Pretty great.
You reckon add it in?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to say worse, because it makes zero sense.
Okay, cool.
Not that it makes zero sense. It makes perfect sense, but it adds
none of the rest of the movie made any sense, so it doesn't matter.
This one, I think, is my favorite.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's for Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Okay.
What happens at the end?
Like, at the end, Ramona and Scott Pilgrim decide to give their love another chance kind of thing.
Yep.
And they just like, hey, let's hang out some more and see what happens.
Yeah.
As
this movie was filming, the comic was apparently still going. So Edgar Wright
Volume 6 hadn't come out.
Yeah.
There were 6 volumes and the 6th one hadn't come out
yet. Are they
yet.
Different? I've never read it.
One's
a comic, so they're different in that way.
Yes, in terms of mediums, sure. They're different, but they're not... They're not markedly different. Like, nobody... My feeling, when the movie came out, my assumption of how the movie was going to end as I was watching it, and my assumption of how the final volume was going to end when it came out, was that Scott was going to end up with Knives, the...
Oh, yep.
Nice Chow, the Korean girl.
Yep, yep.
Because they clearly had the best connection.
Yeah.
And Ramona was just sort of tolerating Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
She's just like, oh, yeah, I guess you're all right, but I'm just going to leave, so why... But at the end, Knives is like, oh, I'm too cool for you, I just, you know, but...
Yeah. What's funny you say that. That was actually... There was 2 endings, at least.
Okay.
One of them was he decides to go with Knives Chow, because they have more in common.
Made a lot more... Would have made a lot more sense, yeah.
However, there's another alternative ending.
Another ending?
Which is my favourite, I think. That Edgar Wright didn't have time to film. A news report covering the story of a serial killer who's murdered 7 people and then claimed he was in a video game.
That's good.
How good is that?
That would be pretty good, yeah. Yeah.
That would explain all the wackiness in that movie.
Yeah.
That's one of those movies I saw at the time, I'm like, yeah, it was alright. Didn't love it. And then seeing it again in hindsight, I really like that movie. Like Moulin Rouge. Yeah, I like Moulin Rouge. What do you think of that?
I don't know who you are anymore. That's so weird. Is that why you're always like, it's a can! Like at the supermarket and stuff.
That's exactly why.
Yeah, you just bring it into your real life. I don't know. Scott Pilgrim is one of those movies, and Terminator 2 is the same.
No.
No, it is. They're the same because what they should have done, what I would, it never would have worked because they wouldn't have made any money. I mean, Scott Pilgrim didn't make any money anyway, so they may as well have tried it. They should have pitched that, all the trailers should have pitched that as a romantic comedy with no sci-fi fighting elements at all. And then you think it's going to be this guy dealing with all the exes and all this relationship drama, and then you get in and then it's insane video game fighting.
That would have been great.
That would have been great, exactly, yeah.
Do you think a lot of people would have left the cinema?
No, I would have stuck around. Come on.
What movie were we in? What's that movie about the end of the world and Martin Freeman's in it?
The World's
End. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, right, okay.
That's a different one. Sorry. Yeah. There are two.
Okay.
But remember two people left during that? That's not a great movie because I think they were expecting something else. And then there was the dolphin sing song at the start.
That's right, yes.
And then they left and the guy was, as he left, he was like, what a dumb movie, he said as he left.
Yeah.
In the wittiest call.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
That's not a great movie, but what a dickhead.
Okay, but in Terminator 2 is the same where, and again, listeners, if you have a friend, and I always like to try this, if you have a friend who's never seen the first two Terminator films, get them in a room and watch them back to back.
Yep.
Because that second one will blow their mind.
Yeah.
Because, and again, they should have done this in the trailer. And I get, it's probably a fine balancing act because there's a lot of great special effects in that film. Mm. And you want to show them off to get people in the cinemas. But if you came straight from the first Terminator and you watched Terminator 2, for the first 15 minutes, you would assume that Arnold Schwarzenegger is the bad guy.
You absolutely would, yeah.
And that Robert Patrick is the good guy, again, because it's this weird parallel to the first one.
Yeah.
He doesn't, you know, it's only 20 minutes in that you realise the T-1000 killed that cop. And, like, yeah. You know, and what have you, assumed his form as opposed to just putting his uniform on and so on. But because they had to market all the amazing special effects, they had to reveal that guy was liquid metal in the trailers. And that kind of took a lot of away.
Yeah, absolutely right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I don't think I know anybody. Everybody I know is...
We'll find someone.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, and we'll get them.
Yeah, just kidnap someone from the streets.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You're right about that Terminator
thing.
They're making a new one as well. They're casting, looking for Sarah Connor at the moment. Schwarzenegger's in it. And I think they were talking about setting it in the 50s?
Huh. So, you know, I'll watch that.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
I'll watch the hell out of that.
I don't know how Sarah Connor's in it. But, you know, who knows? That changes all the time.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Last one.
Get the hell out of that.
Oh, better, worse, whatever. Scott Pilgrim. I think both of those are better.
I think both of those are better. You're right, yeah.
Not that it's still a great movie.
Yeah.
But I think both of those are better. Mm. Last one.
Ready.
We got that. This has been a bit of a long one, so I apologize.
We'll edit out all the dead space.
I'll edit out.
So this will come down to 32 minutes.
I'm going
to
edit out my rant.
That in. That's the best part. That is the best part. And you will always... If you edit that out... I will just come over here one day and you've just got your headphones in and you're listening to that rant over and over again. Like, why didn't I put it in the show? Why didn't I put it in the show? So keep it in the show.
What a prick. Yeah. He dragged that out on purpose so that I couldn't see Batman. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know, I get it. Sorry. You've seen Batman since, though.
I have, yeah. But still. Mm. What a prick. Okay, so... Alien from 1979. Again, not a comic. A lot of comics based on the Aliens franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what happened at the end of Alien 1979?
1979. Shuttle. Airlock.
Yep.
Space suit.
Yep.
Kicks it out the airlock. It's still hanging on the end of the...
That's Aliens.
No, it's still hanging on the...
Oh, okay.
It's
still
hanging
on
the hook thing. Yeah. And she fires the engines and burns it to crisp.
You're right.
Yep.
In the original version...
I'm ready.
Ridley Scott. I'm just going to read this
because
it's just easier. Uh-huh. Ridley would... would make her a...
Ridley or Ridley?
Ridley.
So confusing.
I know. The woman from Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Two.
Yes.
Would make her escape.
Viggo the Carpathian.
Yes.
Yes.
Ripley would make her escape from the exploding Nostromo.
Uh-huh.
Only for the Xenomorph to reappear in the shuttle, which it does.
Yep.
It then bites her head off and then starts communicating with Earth using her voice.
Wow. No.
That would have changed everything.
That would have changed, wow.
Yeah.
What would have happened is the ongoing effect of that would have been that thousands of comic book creators and movie makers would have been out of jobs because that would have been the last Alien film.
Yep.
I think, yeah. The last Alien anything.
So, I mean, and that would have, they would have had a whole, if they did do sequels to that, the Alien would have had wacky powers, I'd imagine. Like it could morph into a human
or
whatever. It would have gone in a very strange twist. That was a good call to take that out.
Definitely.
Also, if they were like, yeah, I'm Ripley, I'm not an alien, I'm going to come back to Earth, they'd be like, cool. And then they'd open the door and be like,
oh, it's an alien.
Yeah, that's a really scary alien.
Yeah, yeah.
We should probably...
Good thing we have this tank. And then, bang, over.
So, yeah, kind of pointless, kind of stupid. I'd love to see it, if it exists.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There we go. That's the show, Mason.
So that's worse.
Yeah, I'll
just so we're clear, that's so much worse, yeah.
That is so much worse.
Uh-huh.
Again, apologies to those listening for this running a little long, but there is a lot of alternative things. I thought about splitting it into two, but then I thought, you know what? No.
Good.
That was my thought process.
Because then you'd have to click stop and record again.
Yeah, God, are you kidding me?
Ugh.
Am I an idiot?
Yeah.
Next week again, don't know what we're going to talk about.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, we will talk about the new Spider-Man trailer, I'll tell you that much.
Okay, good.
And maybe we'll even talk about something else.
Ooh. I'm always on board for something else.
You sure are.
Yeah.
Thank you to Gabriel Bruton for our theme song at the start.
Every time.
Best theme song
every
ever.
Time.
If you want to suggest a topic or you've got anything to say, you can either hit us up on Twitter, weeklyplanetpod@gmail. Weeklyplanetpod@gmail is our email. Weeklyplanetpod on Twitter or Facebook. Mason's is Twitter is Wikipedia Brown.
Correct.
Mine is Mr. Sunday Movies. Shoot us an email or whatever.
Yeah.
Let us know something.
Tell us what we're doing wrong.
Yep.
Just head at everything. We're doing everything wrong.
Yeah. That is the show.
Good to be here. Thanks. Thanks for
listening. Thanks for all the downloads as well. It's going really well. Show's gone great.
I love it.
Yay.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.